I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Vin Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Four.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now. Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome, welcome. This is Chico Now's Helping People every Monday. I am your host, Jessica Wilkerson, licensed marriage and family therapist, number 104464, registered with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences. And I am talking to you about things having to do with relationships and our mental health and the way that we interact with one another. We've been on kind of a pattern the last few weeks of talking about shame and the ways shame manifests itself in our lives and our hearts and the way that we respond to people. So, and today I'd like to talk to you more about healthy shame, because most of the shame that's out there is toxic. It's true. Toxic shame is something that usually has been embedded in us at least by the age of 10. They believe it's between ages of 0 and 10 when we are forming the character idealization of who we are. So who we think we are, how we define ourselves. By around age 10, we kind of have that cemented down. So if before 10 you had people in your life who were toxic, maybe a really horrible teacher or neighbor or friend or a family member who just was struggling with all of their own shame issues and they put it on you, you're going to have a harder time shaking that off as an adult. And if you grew up in a really supportive and loving environment, you're going to have a little bit more resilience as an adult when other people are putting their toxic shame onto you or owning any sort of toxic shame. And so that's just kind of a really big thing to look back and think, what's my resilience level now that I'm an adult? We can't change the past and we can't sit and lament over how these people treated us when we were between 0 and 10 and forming our identity of who we are and how we believe that we are. And we can't change any of that, right? But we can use that to understand where we're coming from now and to understand that the way we're responding to things and the way that we're talking about ourselves isn't necessarily the truth. We're just repeating a mantra that we've been telling ourselves for a very long time. And now we can identify where that mantra kind of manifested, and we can start a new mantra. We can start a new way of talking to ourselves and arguing against the shameful statements that we've been confirming to ourselves all of these years. Oh, you can't do anything right. Oh, no one's going to love you. You do deserve love, but no one's going to see that. No one's going to actually do it. You are an attractive person when you look in the mirror, but no one else finds you attractive. So these are the ways that a lot of people talk to themselves. And you can hear that they're trying to pep talk themselves out of feeling ashamed and hurt and vulnerable in the sad ways. But that scripting inside of them that continues to feed the shame continues to go. So we just look, we take a note, we take a mental note. What does that mean? Where did I get that? You know, I think I got that because I would go to see my Aunt Sally every holiday. And my Aunt Sally was such a negative person. Whenever I was there, she would be so negative about me that I had a nice life otherwise, but Sally really, she really pulled a number on me. She really made me second guess if all the good and beautiful things about me are the same as the world sees them. And now I don't know if the world sees them that way. So that's just something that we have to deal with now that we're adults. We just have to go, okay, so that's where it came from. You know, Sally might have been doing her own life stuff, and she has her own script that came from when she was 0 to 10, and she's saying it out loud to you, but she says it out internally to herself all day, every day. we don't know. We don't know what's going on for other people, right? We're not privy to their internal dialogue. We are privy to our own internal dialogue and kind of understanding why and where it came from a little bit. And not going in and completely spending a lot of time trying to understand Aunt Sally and really go into the depth of that, that's neither here nor there. We can't change that past, right? So we understand where it came from. And now we move forward with it. We go, okay, so that's where it came from. It came from my early childhood. Are any of those things true now? Are any of those things true today? So, well, today, am I lovable? Yeah, I'm lovable. Yeah, I've got all these friends and my colleagues at work really like me and I'm in a relationship or I've had a couple of really good committed relationships and I have kids or I have nieces and nephews and whenever I go here, the people are very friendly. Yeah, I'm lovable. So you find the contradictory ways of proving those statements wrong and you write it down. Because you've been saying those shameful statements to yourself for quite a long while, right? And so trying to remember your contradictory statements to them, you can forget, like, you know, what was I supposed to say? I came up with it last time, but I just can't quite get there right now. Because you're already in your shame spiral. So writing them down, maybe in a couple of places, putting one in your car, in your desk drawer, whatever, so that when you start to identify the shame script has reared its ugly head, then you can start contradicting it and going, no. This is a new day. I am a new person and I am not going to fall for those lies. The lies I've been telling my own self that aren't even the truth, not even the truth of who I really am. Okay, we're going to come back after this break and we're going to talk about healthy shame. What's healthy about shame? I'll tell you.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now, and I am your host every Monday at 12:30, 5 o'clock, and 9 o'clock on 104.5 FM, 9:30 AM, and kkxx.net for live streaming. I would also like to remind you that this show is a 30-minute radio show, so it is not a substitute for psychotherapy. If you are feeling like you're being triggered by some of the things I talk about, then I would like to encourage you to reach out to your community of professionals to talk more about your specific circumstance because, you know, everybody's shame and everybody's life looks so different. It's such a different cocktail. So there are various marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, clinical psychologists that you can talk to out in this beautiful world of ours who are qualified to help you through some of this stuff. I happen to work at a place called Chico Creek Counseling. It's an amazing facility, and it's just a private practice. A bunch of other licensed and associate marriage and family therapists and associate social workers also work there in private practice, and we have a gal who will do our billing for us, and we all are under one roof. It's just a beautiful place to be. And that's called Chico Creek Counseling. And you can find us online at chicocreekcounseling.com or call the office at 530-410-0505. Make sure you let the gal know that you heard about us on the radio. I just really like to know how many people are actually listening to the radio who follow through and come to our office. It's just nice to know. Okay. So when we left, we were talking about the shame cycle that we can get ourselves into and how the origin of that is usually at some point from 0 to 10 when we're forming what we think about our identity. And then when we left for commercial break, I told you we would talk about healthy shame. So there is this thing called healthy shame. And feeling ashamed, there's nothing shameful about feeling ashamed. Okay, let me say that again. There is nothing shameful about feeling shame. That's a natural thing. You know, God created all of our emotions, and that's one of them. And the enemy likes to exploit some of those emotions, right? There's our God can be an angry God some days, and he gave us a sense of anger, but anger that gets out of control can be harmful to ourselves and others, right? And that's not what he wants for us. So he also created shame. And why? So what would be the healthy part of shame? What would be the healthy thing that shame would work in? Well, it's our barometer for our value system. So if we just acted outside of our value system, there's going to be that twang of shame. So what would be some examples? Oh, you just really lashed out at someone. You are so angry. They hurt you. They hurt you. They were someone who you trusted and they hurt you. And now you lashed out and you said a lot of really horrible, mean things to them. And now you feel really ashamed. You just feel really remorseful and embarrassed. Well, that's where your body says and your mind says, and your heart says, dude, you just stepped over the line. And now you need to go and repair. This is on you. You have to go repair this. So you do. So then you do. Because the idea of living with that shame is more uncomfortable than the discomfort of repairing the relationship. Hopefully. Some people, they're so used to living in the shame that it's not that way. Another thing that shame does is it gives you that pang of shame, before you act. So if you're already kind of working on your value system and working on being stronger or more authentic or more honest, or it's just something that's part of who you are, when you're thinking about doing something that goes against your value system, you already start feeling that preventative shame. Like, oh, I would love to do that. I could give that person a piece of my mind. I would like to just write them a very strongly worded letter. Maybe use a couple four-letter words in that letter. And you start thinking about it, and you think about it, and maybe it feels good to think about, but then you walk over to your computer, and you turn your computer on, and you know you're about to open up a Word doc, and you start feeling guilty, and you start feeling that little bit of shame that tells you, you know, this might not work out according to what you're fantasizing, and this isn't really who you are. This isn't really who the person that you tell people you are, the person you tell yourself you are. It just feels really good to fantasize about writing that strongly worded letter, doesn't it? And so often that healthy shame is enough to keep you from doing things you'll regret later, hurting other people or stealing. Some people will steal, and that's really sad and scary for them. When they're feeling desperate or they're feeling bored or whatever it is that they're going through. And the healthy shame will keep them from making that step forward. And then let's say that the healthy shame did not prevent the person from doing it, and they're feeling the healthy shame after doing it. It is going to be a driver to make things right. You know, depending on how strong your ego strength is and whether or not you can go and confront the person and say, hey, I did this and I'm sorry, or you just start being really nice to them because you're trying to atone. You know, the fact that you're trying to atone is driven by that healthy shame. Okay, commercial break. And when we come back, we'll just wrap it all up and talk a little bit more. This is Jessica Wilkerson from Chico Creek Counseling. Stay tuned. A licensed marriage and family therapist, 104464.
I'm Scott Allred.
I'm Ben Taney.
I'm Trisha Coder.
And I'm Matt Ford.
This is Jessica Wilkerson, your host of Chico Now.
What's happening in Chico? Join us.
This is Chico Now.
Chico Now.
Welcome back. This is Jessica Wilkerson with Chico Now and also with Chico Creek Counseling. I really got a tongue tie there trying to figure out where was I at the moment. I have a licensed marriage and family therapist, and my license number is 104464. I'm registered with the California Board of Behavioral Sciences. I practice as a marriage and family therapist over at Chico Creek Counseling. You can find out more about me and all my colleagues at ChicoCreekCounseling.com. So during the commercial break, I was looking up a little bit more about shame, thinking, how am I going to wrap this up? And I found some really cool things. So did you realize, let me see, answer me back, that shame was the first emotion mentioned in the Old Testament? Adam and Eve, they felt healthy shame for disobeying God's commandment, right? They ate the apple and they were ashamed. They were ashamed of their nakedness. But that would have been a healthy shame, right? Oh, I stepped out of my value system. I was told to do something and I did it anyways. I was told not to do something. I did it anyways. And now I feel remorseful and ashamed of myself. That was healthy shame. So the very first thing that we talk about is healthy shame. And then after Cain killed Abel, Cain did not have any shame for that. It was a lack of shame. So he went through a long cleansing period. The Lord had to cleanse him of his lack of shame so that he could be remorseful and he could have a fresh start. Joseph's brothers were lacking shame until 22 years later when Joseph revealed himself to them. And he had to endure many shameful experiences in the prison and his employer's wife, who had been hitting on him and sold into slavery and poverty. So because children are so vulnerable to shame, they don't know the difference between healthy shame and inappropriate shame, toxic shame. And so when we as adults try to use shame to motivate children to do what they need to get done, to get their chores done, or to behave nicely, or anything like that, they don't understand. They don't know how to process that. They don't know where to compartmentalize that in their brain. So naturally, God created in us the sense of healthy shame to help us monitor ourselves. But somewhere along the way, you know, between ages 0 and 10, it gets a little bit jumbled up in there, because adults are in their own place of shame and they're using it the way that makes sense to them. And the way that makes sense to them isn't always healthy for children. And then we have another generation of people who are utilizing toxic shame in ways that are hurtful to themselves and then to other people. So what do we do with that? Well, I think the first thing we do with it is we acknowledge where our toxic shame is and how it influences our lives and how it influences the relationships that we're in. That's really important. Understanding how what we're doing to ourselves influences the relationships we're in. Because no one's an island. And the relationships we're in bounce back and influence the way that we're talking to ourselves, right? So if our relationship is tumultuous, we're going to say, I just can never pick the right partner, or I don't deserve healthy relationships, or I deserve healthy relationships. Why can't I seem to get one? This isn't fair. And so whatever it is we're talking about, it just is feeding it, right? So what are we going to feed? There's that whole little analogy of there's two wolves. And one wolf is like anger and greed and shame, and the other wolf is joy, prosperity, and peace. And you only have enough food to feed one wolf. Whichever wolf gets fed grows fat and healthy, and the other wolf starves and dies, right? So that's the whole idea between monitoring how is the toxic shame in your life affecting the way that you relate to yourself, and therefore reflecting the way that you relate to other people. Because once we start to identify that, we can start turning it around, turning it around from the way we're relating to ourselves and the way we're relating to other people. And when we change the way we're relating to other people, we therefore vicariously change the next generation. So the next generation doesn't have that shame. And you know what I think that we've been actually doing a really good job at? Everyone gives millennials this hard time, right? They just feel so entitled. They want to work from home or abroad. They don't want to have to have a traditional job, et cetera, et cetera. You just constantly read it. But you know what? I would like to reframe that for you guys. I say these millennials are not experiencing so much toxic shame. That the generation before them, their parents, hey, we're doing a pretty good job, right? Because these guys aren't operating out of shame and obligation and like, oh, I have to do this because the world will judge me. These guys are operating out of confidence and excitement and the ability to navigate this world the way they want to navigate it, not the way that they are obligated to navigate it because they'd be ashamed otherwise. Like, wow, that's really great. Like, pat on the back to all of the parents of millennials.